He's the co-founder of Reddit, right?
How do you make money off of founding Reddit?
I don't know.
Stocks? You know, Stonks? What is it called? Is it
Stunks?
I don't know. What, he's Chick-fil-A or GameStop? What is that? What he does?
Chick-fil-A?
Who knows? Yeah, the guy's a nobody. Keep going.
What are you talking about?
He's dating
about?
Serena Williams. Serena Williams is a fucking star.
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
American cheeseburger
along with the
and a Parmesan sandwich. Chicken sandwich. Now we can start.
All right. So, just ordering the regular food for the day.
I order two meals every time. Two meals every time. I think that's what gets me fat. Like, if we're going to, I should probably button this up a little bit.
Don't button it up. QAnon SoCal president, Bert Kreischer, live from the studio. I'm Tom Segura joining you from Austin. We'll be together soon. I know people hate when we Zoom, and we hate it too. Real quick to point out, we'll go over your menu in a moment, but this is episode 100, I believe. So congratulations. Cheers.
Congratulations, Tommy. 100 episodes. And thank you to all the men in the booth. This show is my favorite thing to do. So
it's super fun. We have a great staff. Nadav, Eni, Zolo, Chris, Lindsay, someone else. They're all great. And you guys are great. Thank you for supporting us. Watching the show, we know we get tons of messages. You guys come up to us at shows, and yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's been really fun to be with this absolute maniac of a friend and doing our podcast. Now, what the fuck are you ordering?
I'm back on
Parmesan
Kool-Aid.
Of course, you're drinking Kool-Aid. Parmesan sandwich.
Yeah, I have a meeting. Oh fuck, I got a hair in my mouth.
Okay.
Do you know what that is? I comb my fucking beard with George's brush. So I have George's hair all in my beard.
What did you order to eat?
American cheeseburger. You can't go wrong with an American cheeseburger and a chicken parm sandwich. So
you're eating both of those for lunch?
I'm going to sample them. I'm going to cut them in half, and then I'm going to say, does anyone else want some?
But didn't you say you had 20 cheeseburgers last night?
I didn't eat 20. I made 20. I couldn't stop eating
them. How
many
did you eat?
Fucking a lot. So here's what happened. So we got a griddle at the new house in the backyard. The griddle's the greatest fucking thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
I really took my time with it. I seasoned it, and then I made smash burgers. So I julienned onions. I julienned jalapenos. I got American cheese. I got brioche buns, like the kind that you can crush really quickly.
Yeah.
I got 80-20 fat ratio of the burgers. I seasoned them with someone. I wish I could remember the name of the fucking place because it's a place that sent me seasoning, so I wish I could thank them. But I seasoned them, put a little Worcestershire in there, put a little bit of egg to bind them, and then I put them into, now this was too much. I made them into 8-ounce patties, which apparently is a half a pound.
That's pretty big, man.
It's pretty big. So I make the first one, and Isla says, quote unquote, who the fuck did you make that for? And Isla has a thing that she says you can start cursing when you're 16. And I was like, you're only 15. And she's like, yeah, but no one can really tell. And I was
That's
like,
true. I got to give her points on that argument.
Yeah. So I make the first one, I give it to Isla. And Isla's like, these are really good. She goes, can I give you a suggestion? I said, yes. She goes, cut them in half. So now they're quarter pound burgers. Now, who doesn't eat quarter pound burgers two at a time?
Right.
So
how many do you think you ate?
Oh, I don't know. The wheels came off.
You look like you had a wheels off night. Like you look like
it. I feel like it. You know what it is? I'm still recovering.
Drink?
I'm red wine from Dimitri Estates. They sent me a box of red wine. We drank all of it.
I got absolutely shit.
Yes,
New York.
But no video. This is what you need to do when you get fucking hammered. Post videos of you talking reckless. That's what I want to see.
Here's the thing. I talk real reckless.
Okay, so then let's relive the conversation you had with Jon Stewart.
Man,
it talk was his surreal. Ear off with you. You're like, I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal too. I believe in firefighters. Oh,
no. I was like, man, why does everybody got to move into my neighborhood? No, he was, he was the best. He's like your dream version of what it's like to meet Jon Stewart. It's even better when you meet Jon Stewart.
Really?
He's that great of a guy.
So Ari and I talked about it last week a little bit because we talked about the lineup. I'm curious what the lineup was for that show. I'm talking about a 9/11 show with Dave Chappelle, Dave Attell, Colin Quinn, Amy Schumer, Michael Che, Colin Jost, Bill Burr, Jon Stewart, Chris Rock. It was a fucking. What did everyone do? 10?
It varied. Some people did like a few minutes. Some people did 10 to 15. The only people that were like marked to do 20 were Burr, Mulaney, and Chappelle. That's it.
Wow. So those are the three biggest comics we have working in the business right now.
Basically,
those are the three heads of state. And I can't disagree with that.
You can't really disagree with it. I was booked to do 10. I did 12.
Oh, wow. Baller move, Tom.
big push. Big push.
Wait, did they put down, Chappelle, you're supposed to do 20, just so you know. And he was like, no, I got it.
Sort of. they were like, we got it. Because that's like not just the most famous arena in the world, or certainly here in the United States, crazy union shit. So they were like, we have to get the show wrapped up.
So give me some hot. I know Chappelle did. He probably went right to the buzzer.
Well, yeah, past the buzzer, yeah. But I mean, like the best was, Bill at one point was. I don't want, because you can't give away people's material.
Yeah.
But he was upsetting a group of people in the audience, and like hearing that was really fun. Like somebody screaming, "Shut up!" Like at him, and him like being like, you know, just obviously. Keeping going. Attell pulled out a recorder, you know, like a little, and started to play it during his set, which was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And he was just like another dream to hang out with, just off stage, just nonstop cracking jokes, you know, and like his set was absolutely hilarious. Yeah, it was just fun, man. I mean, everybody was like there for this great, you know, it was a great fundraiser thing. Pete Davidson put it together.
Oh, for real?
And invited everybody. Yeah, and like, you know, it's Pete's obviously super affected by 9/11.
Oh, did he have
father?
Why?
He was there. He was on the plane.
His dad was on the plane?
No. His dad's a firefighter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
Pete Davidson put it together. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah,
Pete Davidson put it together. Wow, that's fucking baller move by Pete Davidson.
Yeah, of course.
And kind of a cunt move, too. I'm going to call him. What the fuck, dude? I could have totally made that flight. Fucking calling Pete Davidson now. What a shit move that was for Pete. God damn it. I thought he was a friend. I thought he was a fucking friend. I mean, really, honestly.
I'll send him a message later about that.
Yeah. No, he'll see this. Everyone just hit up Pete Davidson and say, you broke Bert's heart. Just, you broke his heart. By the way, if you got fucked up, can you imagine how fucked up I would have been at that event?
Well, here's the truth. So I went, I finished. Oh my God. I made a fool of myself to Serena Williams. I'll tell you that story in a second.
Hold. Okay. Hold on. Are you writing these down? Number one. Okay. Write these down. These are things I need to hear. I need to hear the Bill Burr joke that pissed people off air, off camera.
Off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to hear the lineup. Write these down. This is one of the biggest events I've ever seen in comedy.
So many celebrities.
Did you get paid?
No, everything goes to charity. Everything, the whole thing. Charity.
Thanks for not hitting me up then, Pete. Because I work for a living. The so who opened the show? And write down Serena Williams. Write down Serena Williams. Write down. I want to know the lineup. Who opened the show? Because we thought Colin Jost and Michael Che should host.
No.
Pete Davidson hosted.
Pete Davidson and Jon Stewart hosted.
And Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The opening of the show was Jay Farrow and Carly. I always fuck up how to say her last name. I can't say it. You fucking look it up. I feel like an idiot right now.
Okay. And then
how do I say your last name?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Carly Aquilino.
Thank you. Aquilino. So I think they open. I wasn't there for the opening. I got there later. So
why?
When I got on, when I arrived.
First thing.
Really?
What time did it start? 7?
Yeah, I got there like around 8.
Oh yeah. Okay, so your green room.
But like people my level, we arrive like when we are, you know what I mean, when we get there. So when I got there.
So what you're saying is you are a much bigger comic than Jay Farrow. Okay, I got it. So, is that what you were saying? And you and Dave.
I was saying that I would have gotten there after you, Bert. So when I arrived.
I would have been there fucking with bells on, drinking the second I got there, eating
fucking up
the green room, getting an IV.
Everybody would have known, hey, who's that guy that's fucking.
Hey, Tom, I don't know
halls.
If you know that. No one asks who's that guy anymore. They go, oh, the machine.
Oh, I goodness.
So you get there a little later. Your green room was Colin Quinn and Dave Attell.
Yes.
Fucking the best. Let me tell you, all the green rooms, that's the green room I would have wanted to be in.
Of course. Of course. I get there. Leaky Submarine's on stage. I check her out for a few minutes. Then I hop back in. I'm running into people like in the halls.
Oh, I'm gonna pass out.
And then,
I'm gonna pass out. I'm gonna pass out. Oh my god, fuck! That was god damn it. Keep going.
But then okay. I'll give you this. This is surreal.
Okay.
And I never say this shit, but this is surreal. I do my set. I fucking. Murder. Okay.
Yeah.
I fucking destroyed. And as I get off stage, John Stewart was like, that was so fucking funny. I was like, oh, thanks, man. And I walk off. This is like a surreal thing. I walk off, I turn the hall, and as I go to this curtain, I move a curtain to go down the hall, I hear Tom Segura, and it's Chris Rock. And I'm like, what? He's like, that's some funny shit. Starts telling me how it's I'll embarrass myself saying it. So
Chris Rock is literally glowing over your set.
Just in general, saying nice things. Right? Oh, and I'm fuck. Like, yeah, I don't know how to handle myself. I'm like, yeah. So
yeah, you're the reason I did stand up. Fucking Bring the Pain is the greatest special that's ever been done. You're the reason I know what stand up is. You're that reason.
Totally. Oh, and then Chappelle. Same shit.
You know totally Chappelle, crazy. Though.
I know him a little more. Yeah, I've hung out with him a little more. So then I am walking into the green room lounge because I'm like decompressing, you know, from the set. I see Serena and her husband, but they're like together, like having a snack or a drink or something. And I'm like, all right, I just noticed that they're there. And I have another conversation over here. When the show's over, we all go on for like a curtain call thing at the very end. So at the end of the night, everybody's on stage. It's wild. It feels like you're on stage with people from SNL, and you know how the end of SNL, everybody hugs and like they play music. It's like that starts happening. So everybody's like, you know, like just toasting each other.
Who are you standing next to?
I'm standing next to Colin Jost and Jay Farrow. So I'm standing next to SNL guys.
Yeah.
Like, great show this week, guys. So we, you know, they say goodnight and everybody kind of makes their way off stage. And then we go towards there's two after parties. There's an after party at the Garden.
Okay.
And then there's another after party that Chappelle's throwing.
Okay.
So and I go, let's stop at the Garden one because we're
for
in the
a
garden.
Fucking second.
Yeah. And then we'll go over to the Chappelle one.
See if they have any fucking guac and then bang it out.
So we go to the first one. And on my way there, I'm walking behind Serena and her husband. And I didn't tell you this part. I'm in the tunnel of the Garden after my set. And Pete hands me a joint in the Garden. I start smoking a joint.
Yeah.
And it's Pete's. I don't know what it's fucking laced with. But I'm like, I'm fucking toast. So, and I've been drinking. So I'm super lit.
What have you been drinking? What were you drinking?
Gin and tonics.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
So I'm lit, dude. And I go and I'm debating whether to do it, but I'm fucked up enough to make a bad choice. So I go, excuse me. And Serena and her husband turn around. I was like, can I please tell you this story about the time we flew together? And she's like, really? And I'm like, yep. And I go in detail, fucked up about how we flew together one time, coast to coast. So we flew together on a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
Her husband is really nice and like
white.
And I, what's that?
White.
Yeah. He's the guy. He's the co-founder of Reddit. Right. So
I don't even fuck you. I don't even get on Reddit.
I don't know.
I don't even know how to use Reddit.
Really?
How do you make money off fucking founding Reddit?
I don't know.
Stocks. You get on fucking Stonks. What is it called? Is it
Stonks?
I don't know. What fucking, he's Chick-fil-A or fucking GameStop. What is that what he does? Who knows? Fucking, yeah, the guy's a fucking nobody. Keep going.
What are you talking about?
He's dating
about?
Serena Williams. Serena Williams is a fucking star. Hold my bag. I'm talking to Tom Segura. Keep going. Tell me about the plane flight.
Okay. So anyways, I lay out in detail, and then I realized two things. Twice. I realized that when I flew with her, it was like either late 2014 or 2015. And I was telling her, I was like, I'm a comedian, right? Like on this, over the course of the flight. And she's like, oh, can I see you anywhere? And I was like, yeah, I have a special on Netflix. It's called Completely Normal. And she like writes it down. I realized after I got off that plane, like well after I had talked to her, that in that special, I talk about wanting to have a threesome with Serena and Venus Williams. And I didn't realize it when I told her. And the fantasy was like one sitting on my face.
Oh my
and
then, God.
And
oh
Venus
my
has
God.
A racket up my ass. So I never realized that until then. I was like, oh my God. And then when I'm telling them the story, I tell them that part. And they were like, okay. And I'm like, yeah. And then I didn't realize that I fucking talk about you and sit on my face.
And Captain Reddit, the fucking computer warrior over there, is going, this is inappropriate. This is inappropriate.
He was actually.
Is he a good looking dude? Is he a good looking dude?
Yeah, he looks like a normal guy.
Pull up a picture. I want to see a picture of this guy.
Here's the thing. I realize that I'm fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, halfway through the story when you're telling her about a fucking plane flight you were on with her. By the way,
yeah,
she
and then
is
I go
gorgeous.
Yeah, of course. It's Serena Williams.
She is. Yeah.
Alex, that's his name.
Alexis. Okay. Alexis Ohanian. Ohanian. Alexis Ohanian. Ohanian. What an interesting last name. Alexis Ohanian. Keep going.
Bruce Kressler. Anyway, I then, you know how I wrap up my story?
Please say by spitting on her shoes, yelling the N-word, and running down the hallway. I don't know.
I go, I'm sorry if I'm humiliating myself right now.
It's just as bad. It's just as bad. Except you stood there.
Yeah. And they were like, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh. Yeah.
And I could feel the like the embarrassment coursing through my body.
Oh my
God. And I go, I've been drinking a lot. And then they're like, we actually want a drink right now.
And you're like, oh, I know where you can get one. And they're like, no,
yeah, I was like,
no, we do too. Yeah. So then you go to the drippy fucking Madison Square Garden party, and you hang there for.
I go there. I hang out there a little bit, and then, run into people.
Say, hey, can someone get a picture with me standing next to Jon Stewart? Can someone get a picture of me standing next to Chris Rock? Can someone get a picture of me talking to Jon Stewart?
Oh, that just happens.
Who took those pictures?
Candyman. That's Chappelle's photographer.
Oh.
He's the only photographer allowed at the thing.
Really?
So
he travels with a photographer?
Yeah.
What does he do with these fucking pictures? He doesn't post them on Instagram.
You're right. Everybody else does.
What the fuck's he got a photographer for?
I don't know.
Maybe he's making a coffee book.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, is that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Dude, and then we go to Chappelle's after party.
Okay, where's it at?
Soho. And it's at this restaurant bar that's shut down, obviously. And it's like, you know, music, drinks, food, like... It's packed with people, you know.
Lenny John Kravitz, fucking
Don Hamm, Q-Tip, like all, you know, fucking super notable people.
John Hamm has a hog on him. Have you ever seen his cock?
I've seen the picture of him like walking, and you can see like the outline of it.
He cracks bitches open like hot watermelons.
It looks like he would.
Fucking hog on him. He has a. If now you ready for my Serena moment? If I ever run into John,
he's a handsome man too.
He is
like
gorgeous.
When you meet him, he's got a fucking like a grip, and you look at him and you're like, yeah, you could probably,
yeah, look at his dick. And by the way, he's embarrassed of it. Like he doesn't like people talking about it.
Yeah,
fucking weirdo. He is a good looking dude.
He's a good looking dude.
He is a good. He's a guy that if he leans in to kiss me, I probably don't pull back.
Yeah, you probably don't.
I probably just go, fuck it, I'm kissing John Hamm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you go to the after party, John Hamm's there. Q-Tip.
Yeah, it's,
by the way, I think you're underselling the celebrities that are there, because it's Dave Chappelle, 9/11, fucking Pete Davidson dates only fucking the most famous people in the world. You know Pete Davidson's there. Fucking, I don't know who's dating, like Kate Beckinsale or something? It's like, who else is there? Give me more names.
Trying to think. God, this one fucking, I forget this actor's name.
Like you're recognizing people going like, I know that person, but I don't know who the fuck they are. And then that's better than knowing who they are.
Yeah. There's some of that for sure. Everybody's like in a great mood. It really is a fun, he fucking throws a good party, man.
Dave Chappelle knows how to live fucking life.
He throws parties like five nights a week.
By the way, I really honestly think, if there's one comic fucking living their life perfectly, it's Dave Chappelle. I mean,
as a comedian, he's absolutely doing it right.
Whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and he does it right on tour. The bringing a fucking cameraman around is a brilliant idea. I mean, by the way, I'm looking at it going, how come I don't have a fucking cameraman around? Like I post pictures nonstop on Instagram. Like, yeah. He doesn't post anything on Instagram. I'm sure he has a videographer. I'm sure he's cutting these fucking sizzle reels of how awesome his life is. Pandemic happens, and he opens up his house as a summer camp, and everyone fucking moves to Ohio. Dave Chappelle is living his ultimate fucking life. And by the way, I bet he has a good relationship with his fucking kids.
I mean, he was just, it's the MC of the event you want to be around. Like the host, I'm saying, you know, like the guy, everything is like, he's like a magnet. People just gravitate towards the stuff he's doing.
And he's the one that made it cool for us not to be asking to get in movies and television. He is the comic that made it cool to just be a comic. He really is.
That not only that, he also is the comic that goes, oh, are you going for a joke here? Then go for it. Like, he supports fucking up a joke in the pursuit of getting a joke right, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
But that's not a lot of comics these days.
Yeah, no. A lot of comics will turn on you if you misspeak and be like, no, you're in trouble now. I can get followers based on, I can get more famous based on tattletaling on you. That's what I think they're missing the mark on, is that the only reason someone follows you or wants to go see you live is if they like you, not because they saw you snitch and record someone saying a joke.
He actually, as famous as he is, he actually is a comic. Like he loves taking a swing at a joke.
Yeah. Is he funny? Is he funny to be around?
Totally. Yeah.
Really?
Sitting in the green room with him is like, it's him. It's like the guy on stage, but it's like even more accessible. And he's going between like saying something really interesting and then just cracking crazy jokes.
How much?
And he's actually gracious to people throwing jokes out. You know what I mean? Like just riffing with them.
How close do you think? I'm going to rank this. Okay. So Chappelle, let's say Chappelle is I'm trying to think of an analogy to make it easier so we can do it as opposed to numbers. But like, say Chappelle is on stage, who is off stage, correct? So that's 10 to 10, right? So 10 is the number you get for who you are on stage. And then what number do you think you are off stage as close to who you are on stage? Like Daniel Tosh would be 10 on stage and a 2 off stage, meaning he is nothing like who he is on stage at all.
Right.
Dane Cook, a 10 on stage, a fucking 3 off stage, meaning I'm not lowering the number for their personality. I'm saying that who you see on stage, if that is your 10, well, then that other number is adjacent to like how far away from that person they are. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty, I mean, I think you're getting
I'd say like you're 10-7.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I'm nicer in real life than I am on stage. So that's a different thing. But I think you're getting like, you know, a part of the personality.
Yeah.
And then you, what do you think you are?
I think I'm a 10-11. I think I actually toned down myself on stage a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
And there's parts I definitely don't share on, like off stage, I'm a fucking lunatic. On stage, I'm fucking sober. I've organized some material that I'd like to share with you.
Over the years, you've really taken some twists and turns with performing sober. Every time I talk to you, you're like, I was sober. And then I'm like, what were you drinking? You're like, I had one drink.
Like I didn't drink anything before I did Red Rocks. I was stone sober. Like big shows like that, stone sober.
But you didn't end it sober.
I did not.
I saw a clip. Somebody was posting from the audience as the show ended, and you were like, this is the greatest country in the world.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, what is he doing?
I was pretty fucking... As soon as I started the machine, I murdered that Tito's and soda. It's like when I was 22.
That was one drink?
That was one drink. And no. And then I had him pour me another one. And they're, by the way, my one Tito's and soda is a big gulp sized Tito's and soda.
Okay. I watched that and I was like, oh, he's hammered.
At the end of the show, I was definitely pretty fucked. And by the way, the machine story took 25 minutes. So
25 minutes.
Oh, I thought to myself, I said to the audience, if I was ever to come to Red Rocks, I would want to see a jam band like Widespread Panic go off on my favorite song. So I'm going to jam band the fuck out of this story. And so I just started telling the machine, and then I just go on tangents and fucking write. I went on a fucking tangent about Mulaney. I mean, it was like fucking, it was, I just went on tangents, and it was like, I just had fun as fuck with the story. And I was like,
that's cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm a lunatic off stage. I think I'm very tame on stage. I wonder if
I think your perception of yourself is a little off.
What do you mean? You think I'm?
You're not very tame on stage. Nobody says that about you.
No one ever goes, well, that. Oh yeah, I do. I guess I do perform with my shirt off.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I mean, it's the personality to match a shirtless guy on stage. Yeah. What are you drinking there, bud?
I'm back, and I'm not ashamed to say I drink Kool-Aid.
No, I didn't know you left.
Do you want to hear a fucking funny story?
Were you shamed? Were you shamed by it for a while?
Yeah. I had to hide my Kool-Aid drinking. Because everyone's like, I'm a grown man drinking Kool-Aid. And everyone saw that fucking clip. So everyone's like, hey, big guy, drinking Kool-Aid. And I'm like, and I was drinking Kool-Aid. I always had Kool-Aid on me. And I was like, yeah. At a certain point, I was like, I don't want to be that predictable. You ready for this? You ready for this?
Yeah.
So we're looking at colleges with Georgia. And so I fell off the wagon with Kool-Aid in Colorado. The problem is if they put it in my green room, I steal the packets and I just put them in my waters. I can't help it. I just can't help it. So they give me a bunch of packets at Red Rocks, and I fell off the wagon hard. And so we're at University of Boulder, and I am shitting my asshole's been super itchy lately. And so I take a shit at University of Boulder, and I wipe, and I have like, because of altitude and because of my partying as hard as I was, I have these like red circles on my hand, like my blood vessels on my hand are bursting, and I'm like, mother.
I don't know if that's altitude.
I'm like looking at him going, and I have a legit panic attack. I have a legit panic attack. I walk out white as a sheet. Georgia and Isla and Leanne are sitting. We're in the student union area at Boulder. I said, baby, something's going on with my hands. I think something's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's my blood pressure medicine. And I show it to her. Georgia just goes, it's Kool-Aid. I go, what? She goes, Kool-Aid, Dad, you have Kool-Aid packets. I guess one broke, and they're all over your hands. And I look, and it's in between my fingers. And I'm like, motherfucker. I go, this is Kool-Aid? And then Ida goes, it's Kool-Aid, Dad. And I went, walked in, I washed my hands, and it just came off. And I went, hey, I'm fine.
You were that nervous?
I didn't know what it was. But the part I'm leaving out is I looked at it, and I saw it, and it was like on my, it was like very distinct circles here and there. That's all I saw, but it was also red as fuck in between my fingers. I didn't see that. And I tried to wash it off, and it would not come off the first time. It would not come off. And yeah. then the next time I put a little soap on there, and it fucking came off right away. And I was like, oh, yeah, it is Kool-Aid. I thought I was fucking dying. I was like, God damn it, Kool-Aid, you got me again.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I'm back pretty heavily on Kool-Aid. I'll tell you what.
How much do you drink now?
I'm going through... I'm definitely, well, you know what? The biggest one of it was a little bit of a two storms meeting, because we got a cool ice maker in the new house, and it has the greatest ice. It's called, is it popcorn ice? Will you pull up popcorn ice?
That's the little ones, right?
The little tiny cubes. I'll show you.
You kind of chew up. Yeah.
It's like, it looks like this. That's popcorn. That's just popcorn.
Yeah.
But it looks like this. And so you can put tons of fucking ice. It's almost like having a Slurpee. You can put tons of ice in these things and then load it up with Kool-Aid, and then the ice sells it. And so I've been drinking a lot of drinks lately because of this ice. I think ice is maybe a conduit for, I think I might have to take a shit.
Right now?
No, I can hold it.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
When you go like, I got to take a shit, how long can you usually hold it when you have that feeling?
About 30 seconds.
Oh, so you usually have emergency shits?
All shits are emergencies. I never casually walk to a toilet. I don't stroll to a toilet and go, maybe I'll take a poop.
Never.
No. What do you mean? What are you being serious right now?
Like in the morning.
Well,
hold on.
How do you shit? Do you go like?
Well, yeah, I go like, oh, all right, I'm feeling it. I got to take a shit. And then I walk over and I sit down and take a shit most of the time. I have emergencies, of course, but I'm saying, what's the ratio of how many times it's an emergency versus a normal shit?
I shit the same way a chick takes a shot in a bar, throws up in her mouth, and holds it till she walks outside. Like, and that's how I shit.
Every time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I shit my pants a lot. I shit my pants a lot.
How often do you shit your pants?
I mean, you know this. I shit my pants quite a lot. Like, definitely once a week. I shit the bed once a month. Like, I've shit the bed before. Because I sleep naked, and then you just roll the dice on a fart.
And a lot of times it's shit?
It's always shit. It's nothing else. It's not ice cream. I shit my pants a lot. Like, I don't understand when people go, ugh, I got diarrhea. I go, don't you always have diarrhea? Yeah.
Well, how often do you have diarrhea?
I mean, let's just say I can't pull any of my shit out of the toilet, okay?
Like, ever?
No, I don't ever have a log.
A log?
Like it's always soft serve kinda. Like,
do you ever see logs?
I have seen logs. Yeah, usually when I'm
eating, but I'm
right.
Saying in a week.
Sober October. Oh no, I don't know. Well, like, I mean, are you saying like a log? Cuz sometimes I'll get like a Play-Doh factory type thing. Where it like
right, but how about like just
snakes.
a healthy log?
I don't know.
Not even every week.
I don't know.
Are you on board with Sober October?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I thought you said you were on board.
I'm on board, but last night, what did they want to change it to? Microdosing mushrooms?
No, I'm not doing. What are you talking about? What?
Yeah. Ari texted and he was like, I should be microdose mushrooms. And Joe's like,
I think
that's
a
good idea.
No.
Can someone please research for Tom the effects of mushrooms on people who don't have bones in their legs or arms?
Yeah, I saw that.
My allergies are fucking horrific.
That might not be allergies.
It might be.
You shit your fucking bed once a week. It's not allergies.
I could use a Sober October. I'm not going to lie to you.
It looks like it.
You're catching me on a bad day. Like, it's 9 a.m. I have a fucking busy-ass day. I can't work out. I can't goddamn work out. And so, like, working out's my thing that gets me even. So,
yeah.
And I can't fucking work out. So, like, I feel like, I think I'm, like, depressed because I'm just sitting there going, so what do I fucking do? Like, and then I just end up making food.
What's your day like?
Today, I have a team meeting. I have meetings at 12, 2, 3, fucking 5, 6:30. What?
Team meeting?
I have a team meeting. Yeah, I try to bring in everyone on my team once a month, and then I do once a week with just the half of the people. Yeah, but like I just... I'm trying to do big things, Tom. I'm trying to buy the rights to this thing, and I have to meeting with them, and then I'll tell you exactly what I got today.
Is it the thing you told me you wanted to buy the rights to?
No, someone already owns the rights of it.
Oh.
Actually, I think some stuff have been taken off my fucking plate.
Okay.
Well, this looks pretty easy. I got a podcast at 6:30. It's my last thing. With the Rosebud.
You're trying to buy the rights to another story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not even trying to buy them. They want to take a meeting because I think they want me to do something with them. And so I was like, yeah, but I don't. So I have that team meeting, and then the team meeting at noon is when we get lunch, and so that's when I'm going fucking hard.
And then we're gonna get, if we're gonna be oh, very, that's where you're gonna get the parma.
If we're gonna be 100% honest with each other and the universe, I have a Xanax in the middle of my day planned out. I've been having
What dosage?
I'll do quarter milligram, but I'm having
quarter.
Yeah,
you're fine.
I'm having massive panic attacks, and I cannot control them.
What's creating them? You think?
I don't know. So I had. So I when we flew home from Denver, the Denver airport looked like Kabul. I mean, it was. Did I say that right? Kabul?
Yeah, I think Kabul is right.
Is that Kabul? Kabul. Yeah.
Kabul.
It was fucking chaos in the Denver airport. It was the line.
It's always like that.
I've never seen it like that ever in my life.
Always like that.
The line for security, Tom, you know, first of all, Denver's.
Take the escalators down, and then there's that fucking just zoo down there.
Yeah, no, and then, but the line wrapped around baggage claim.
For security?
And we're with George and Isla, who have no fucking TSA pre-check. They have no fucking status. And so, and then Leanne, we got a rental car. So, okay, so this is how, so I wake up, I feel good. I go, you know what? It's going to be fine. I was being a baby. I just didn't want to fly with all of them because I get panic, I get anxiety in the airport. So we pull into the airport. Leanne's got a rental car. She's like, ugh, I forgot to get gas. And I'm like, don't worry about it. She was like, well, no, I don't want to pay the extra. I go, shut the fuck up. We're not, it's yeah. Like, just drop it off and tell them I don't know. And she goes, and I scraped the car. I'm going to have to talk to them. I go, all right, drop me off at curbside. Give me your ID real quick. And she goes, no, you're not allowed to do that. I go, shut the fuck up. I go, give me your ID. I'm going to check you in. I'll have your thing. I'm going to send the girls through security by themselves, and I'll wait here for you. We both have TSA pre-check. That way the girls can go through the line and get through, give them a little autonomy. And I'll wait for you. And so she's like, okay. So I check her in. I check all the bags in. I mean, it's just like things that are so fucking make you crazy. Like, honey, it says it's got to be under 50 pounds. Yours is over 50. Who the fuck says that? Who the fuck says that? Like, just shut up. Don't talk. Don't say anything. Just don't. Hey, tell her I have weed in my bag too. Why don't you? Tell her that.
Yeah.
So we put the thing on. Then the lady goes, it's over 50 pounds. And I go, she goes, it's $100 for over 50 pounds. I go, I don't care. She's like, excuse me? And I want to just be like, I'm flying commercial. I wanted to fly private out of here. I just did fucking Red Rocks. I wanted to treat myself, and I'm flying on fucking United commercial. You motherfucker. Do you think I give a fuck about $100 and the fucking scraped up rental car? Like, I'm like, hold it together. My hands are sweating right now as I'm telling you this story.
Yeah. No, this is good.
So I say to the lady, very kind, and say, I was very kind. I'm never rude at the airport because that is the other thing that makes me anxiety riddled is how fucking people have turned into goddamn animals on airplanes, like literally animals. Have you seen the guy going, ha, ha, with his mask? I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck? It's like Oz on a goddamn commercial flight these days. That's making me fucking crazy. I tell the lady, I'm flying first class, so is my wife. I think we can check overweight bags. And she goes, well, you didn't say you were flying first class. And I was like, mm-hmm, I know. But I figured you would notice that as you checked me in. And she goes, well, I would have. And I was like, okay. So we get the things. I go, Leanne goes, I'm parking too long. And I go, can you check her in? She goes, yeah, checks Leanne. I get her thing, and Leanne's already gone. Leanne's already left. So I'm like, cool, I'll just wait. So I send the girls. And I go and I sit down and I'm doing good. I'm actually doing good. I'm listening to the Calm app and I'm breathing and I'm not drinking. I'm not having taken any Xanax. I'm just like, I'm good. And by the way, it should be fair to note, I have flight anxiety for legit. I had it pre-pandemic and I was okay with flying. I was pretty good. Post-pandemic with the mask on and the fucking chaos and the 6 feet and just the idea of being infected with this Delta variant, all this shit. Everyone's energies are up here. I'm like, I'm kind of holding on by a fucking thread. And so I wait for Leanne. I'm tracking Leanne on the phone, right? I'm tracking where she is on the car. She's taking fucking forever. And by the way, Denver Airport was set up in colonial days? Like, who the fuck has the rental cars 3 miles, 7 miles away from the fucking airport and has an airport 180 miles away from the town? I mean, it fucking makes no sense. So, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, I'm doing breathing exercises, and Georgia calls. And I'm like, oh, she goes, hey, I think we went to the wrong place. And I'm like, what?
What?
And I go, hang on, where are you? And then I pull up my fucking app where I can track Georgia. She is a quarter of a mile away from me. Like, she is like, and I go, where the fuck are you? And she goes, Dad, the line is like really long. Like, they have us out on the, we checked in on the east side. She goes, they have us on the west side wrapped around baggage claim. I'm right now at baggage claim one. And I'm like, that is the far fucking, and like, we're here. That's all the way here. Check-in's here. I'm like, okay. I go, hold on. I'm going to come get you. And she goes, well, no, we're in line. And I go, okay, I got to wait for your mom. So then I have, I'm trying to manage everything. Leanne shows up. I give Leanne her saying, we need to go get the girls. I go to get the girls. By the way, TSA line's long. First class line's long. And I'm like, and I go to Georgian Island, and everyone is fucking trying to butt in this horrific line. And everyone's being assholes. The fact that I walked up to Georgian Island, people lose their fucking goddamn mind. Sir, there's a line. And I said, it's my daughter's. I'm just talking to them. And they go, yeah, but if you're going to get in line, you can't just get there. You got to go all the way to the back. People are treating me like this.
Yeah.
So I say to George and Isla, give me one second. I'm trying to be calm. I go, give me 1 second. I'm going to go check, see if I can bring you in first class with me. So I go to the lady. I say, hey, can I bring in my daughters? They're not flying first class, but I am. Is it okay? Because that's a weird thing is in this chaos, I'm a weird rule follower about everything. Yeah. Because
well, that's good.
But I think it's fucking with my head. So
did you tell the lady at first class, when you, did you say, I was going to fly private, but I lowered myself to this, or no?
No. I did not say that. And by the way, I was thinking it, Tom. It was so much to fly private. It's like fucking 20 grand. And I go, I can't justify it. I cannot justify it. And Leanne was not having it. She was like, no, we're flying commercial. It's fine. I go, baby, we just had a big weekend at Red Rocks. Like, Let's treat ourselves. I sold out Red Rocks. Let's treat ourselves and fly home private. Like, and we'll have champagne on the plane. No stress. Get home. Start our week. Great. She's like, no, it's fucking 20 grand. You know what I can do with 20 grand? I was sitting in, at one point, I said to her, she goes, what do you want to do when we get home? I said, I want to waste $20,000 and watch you make me white. I'm going to fucking piss on $20,000 and light it on fucking fire so you know that I couldn't have fucking avoided all this. She
episode 100.
I go back. I grab the girls. I said, hey, you can come with me. And they leave. Now the same people that were yelling at me are going, just so you know, we're not saving your place in line. Tom, it's so bad. I get us all through. I'm sweating. I'm sweating, full-blown sweating. I get through. Security, we get on the train. There's a huge line to get on the goddamn train. We take the train to thing A, and we're A88. And I look, and I go, A88? That seems really far away. Tom, it is a half a mile away from where McDonald's and everything is in the center. It is a half a mile. Maybe, I'm not even, it might be a mile away. It might be a mile away. Of course, everyone's got to piss. So they all go. I go, hey, I'm going to go find out where our gate is. I start walking. You got to walk to the end, down a set of stairs, around a hallway, down another set of hallways. And I'm like, I call Leanne. I go, hey, you need to come down. We're now running late for our flight because this is all this shit show. By the time I got to where a bar was, I was shaking. I was shaking, and I couldn't control it. And it was just all this stuff, all this processing. Jesus. And Leanne came in. Leanne, you could tell, man, because Georgia was not loving me this weekend. And they were so sweet to me. And I was like, I'm having a panic attack. And they're like, what's happening? And I go, I don't know. I can't control it. And I was like physically, I felt physically ill. I couldn't even drink. I didn't drink. I just sat there like shaking. And Leanne's like, this happens to you? I go, I think it's the fucking Delta variant, the fucking masks. I mean, like I'm sweating on my face.
And I get way, like, I'm not like you. I don't suffer from the same thing, but the stress of traveling with family always heightens all stress, because I get super stressed out too when I'm traveling with family.
I mean,
it's just totally different.
It's so, it makes me like, because they don't, they're, you know, I operate a certain way in an airport. I streamline it, right? I streamline it so I don't have to fucking deal with all the shit that makes me crazy. Like the stuff where like, you know, unpack your bags. You know, that's why I have TSA pre-check. That's why I have clear. I mean, I've done all the things to make the least amount of snags through my get through the airport. That's what, and when you travel, when I travel by myself, I can manage.
Exactly.
I'm sitting at this fucking airport bar and I'm shaking, and then I get on the, and then I get over to where the gate is and I start to relax. I do fucking goddamn Calm app. If they're not a sponsor, we should get them, because I listened to the Daily Calm 3 times. And
really?
I'm doing the breathing exercises because the other thing is it's altitude and I'm not breathing. I'm holding my breath and I don't even realize I'm doing it. So so I'm not getting all the oxygen I need. I get on the plane and it is the worst fucking turbulence I've ever had in my life. And I have a fucking another fucking meltdown and I'm just like, and I start playing backgammon aggressively, like just going like, just to get my mind off of it. Dude, when we landed, it's crazy too, because the second we land, it's all gone. It just fucking, it yeah. disappears. And I go, what the fuck, man? Is this like my brain? Because it feels physical. I feel it physically. And so I've been celebrating the last 2 days because I didn't have to fucking, I don't know what I'm going to do.
But you're going to get on 100 more planes this year.
I know. That's why I started panicking, going like, I'm not even joking. I might just get on the bus and in LA, go to Montgomery for my first show, Augusta, Atlanta, and then just live on the bus all of October. And just
keep the bus, out.
Keep the bus out and just live on the bus the entire month. I was saying,
just to avoid planes?
Here's the thing. It's not planes, because I have flown. This is gonna sound fucking horrible. It's our country. It's what has happened to our country, and the way the media is representing it, I think it's fucking with my head. And so I'm on the plane waiting for someone to fucking smack a flight attendant, or like I'm like hyper aware of how horrible people are behaving, and I can't operate with that chaos. Like I start overcome. It's like almost like I watched too many movies about sharks and now I don't want to get in the ocean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Society is devolving and it's starting to.
Dude, and it's killing me. Like I can't. Dude, I went to Rite Aid the other day and I was like, the way people behave these days, I don't know if it's because they have a mask on, they feel like they're anonymous, but it was just so. I started melting down, and Leanne's like, "What the fuck?" I also think the other thing, Tom, is I stayed, 17 months pretty much away from people. I was like, and all of a sudden, I fucking am thrown back into the mix, and like people just get close to you, and you're like, "Hey, man, like, what about this Delta? I'm vaccinated, but like, are you like?" It's everything's so fucking chaos. I'm having a hard time getting folded back into regular society.
Wow. Have you talked to anyone about it, like a professional?
No.
Seriously. Why?
I should. I told my wife, I was like, I need to start therapy again because I'm.
I mean, this seems like it would be a natural reason to go do it again.
I mean, my brain is thinking crazy fucking shit. The other day I'm walking down the street and I see a homeless guy and I just wanted to tuck him in and be like, hey man, people care about you. Like, I care. I wanted to be like, let me help you. I feel like fucking society has gone south.
God,
what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Tom's reaction to your story.
I wanted to tuck him in, and Tom goes, I wanted to kick him.
I think there's a.
You don't have homeless
obvious...
people in Austin. By the way, I'm definitely thinking about just coming to Austin on my days off because it's quicker to be for
should,
me to get there.
You should. And you'll be surprised. There are quite a few homeless people here. I think it's pretty obvious when you talk about the airport, Rite Aid, the homeless guy. Your problem isn't society. Your problem is how gross poor people are. And I think like if you start just hanging out with more people of means, you won't have any anxiety.
That might be it.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to a fucking grocery store. I haven't gone to a grocery store. I probably gone to a grocery store maybe in 17 months, 18 months, probably. But here's the crazy thing. I was totally cool in Serbia. Like, I was totally cool being around people in Serbia.
But you were in a bubble.
No, but I was out of the bubble. I went out to eat and stuff. And
yeah, but I mean, it's like a controlled atmosphere almost, you know?
You know what? Maybe I just need to live in a small town. Maybe I need to retire and move to a small town. Austin's not a small town. Austin's fucking...
It's not, but still, you could live 30 miles outside of here.
I could. Just get guns and dogs.
And get like a big ranch.
Oh, I would love
it. How fun would that be? It's totally you. Living on a ranch.
God. And then I need to... Yeah. Someone offered me tickets to watch the Rams Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And I'm in Vegas the night before, and then the game's at 1, and I just started thinking, everyone just fights at these games, and then they love fighting because they go viral, and I'm like, and cats are falling off roofs. I mean, what the fuck? I was like, I don't want to go to a goddamn game. Like, I don't want
to
be
I think
around.
you need to do a session, man. I think you should get your therapist on the line.
I mean, but do you think other people feel like me? Like the way...
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, I'm not, negating or diminishing your anxieties. I'm just saying that, like, I think a lot of people are feeling like you, but I think it might be helpful for you to talk to somebody that, you know, knows professionally how to deal with that. But, yeah, it's a crazy world, and it's kind of like where your mind's at in it. That's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was, man, that flight home was rough. I was like, I haven't been like that in a very, very long time. And part of
it
was
I had a
like,
crazy thing.
Wait, what happened?
I got to tell you a crazy thing that happened, but I can't tell you on camera.
Wait, why?
Because I can't. I'll have to tell you off camera.
Okay. Fuck.
I know.
Hey, are we going to do a live show soon?
I would love to. We have to shoot some stuff for it, you know, like we've had our dominatrix.
Oh,
we've had
it, that's our, right.
We got to shoot something for it. I really wish we would double team Adriana. If our stupid, dumb fucking wives would stop being so dumb.
Do you think if I was in an airport with Adriana Chechik, that I would have no anxiety? Cause I'd just be like looking at her the whole time and being like,
yeah, it would calm you down.
Yeah.
It would calm you down. Yeah. We're just going to use dildos. Like what's the fucking problem?
I say we do it. It's better to, what is it? Ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's exactly right, Bert. That's exactly right. And I think if we do it and we show them like how respectful we were.
And every now and then we slide our real dicks in. You look and you're like, wait, you're doing your real dick.
And for Adriana, she thinks it's she's like, oh, is that the toy? Like she thinks our real dicks are just little toys. And we're like, yeah, it's a toy. Yeah.
Do you think she'd really have sex with us, do you think?
Yes. What do you mean, do I think?
What if me and you got into a throuple? I think
I'm not saying that we would satisfy her. I'm saying I think she would do it for the laugh.
Who do you think would come first?
You.
No, I definitely jerk off before. Would you jerk off before?
No. No. I would try to go in there fully loaded.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the things we could say right before we had sex with her that would be awkward as fuck.
You know how it's funny? Like, it sounds like a joke, but the reality of how unimpressed she would be with how we fuck. Because she works with professionals, like real cocksmen.
Oh.
Who not just have huge pieces, but like they're like, how many hours do you need me to fuck you for?
What if? And then what if? Okay. What if this? What if this? What if we? What if we? What if? Okay. Soft pitch. What if we fuck Adriana Chechik and she teaches us how to fuck? And it's just
that would, dude. Now you're getting our wives on board.
Yes, we're just gonna get better at having sex with our wives because Adriana, it would be very clinical. We'll make her wear a nurse's outfit. Yeah, we'll get her to wear a nurse's outfit.
Nurse outfit, and she'll up our oral game and our fucking game, and you know, then we go back to our wives, and we're like, how much better are we now? That's the way to do it, dude.
I love this. I love this.
Now is the time to pitch it to our stupid wives.
All right, I'll call.
Okay.
Yours is just in the room with you.
No, she's not here.
Where is she? Is she on the road this weekend?
No, I mean, she's in Austin. She's not.
Has she got her cast off her foot yet?
Yeah, she's walking around totally fine.
Oh, really?
The doctor says she's a fucking anomaly.
I got 100% flexibility in my arm. They technically said yesterday I didn't have to wear my brace anymore. They said I didn't have to wear my brace anymore, so I didn't wear my brace making smash burgers. I wore it for a little bit, and I took it off, and then I burned my fucking hand, Tom, and I went like this, ha, and I fucking hurt my tendons, and I was like, God damn it! So I put it back on. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to wear it until I can break out of it jerking off like Forrest Gump did running. Come, see. Forrest. Come, Bert. Come.
Should I call
Christina? That was a really good joke. Did he not hear that?
I didn't hear it at all.
Oh, God damn it.
Should I call Christina?
Yeah, call Christina. And this is how you say it. Ready?
Yeah.
What do you say to me pleasing you better in bed?
There you go.
We got to take a salesman's approach to this.
What, are they both just like...
Your call has been forwarded.
Do you ever call your wife and she doesn't answer so much that you want to cancel her fucking phone?
Yeah.
And go, that's right, you don't get a phone now. You don't get a phone. You don't know how to use it. I call you, you answer it. That's how it works. I place a phone call, you see it ring. Sometimes I'm fucking, ugh.
Right, and if I don't answer, it's because something fucking busy is happening. Because
I'm making money to pay for these fucking phones.
Right.
Leanne, this drives me nuts so bad. She'll go, a phone number will ring. She'll go, 310, who is this? And I go, that's why it vibrates, is that you know that it's someone. So answer it, say hello, and then that person will tell you who it is. That's how this game works. It's a fucking game of telephone. Answer the fucking phone. She goes, well, I don't know them. I'm not answering. I go, it could be the fucking hospital.
You really are an 11 offstage and a 10 onstage.
I'm 11. I'm really thinking. Oh wait, we're gonna lead into Sober October and then go right to Bert's birthday. Oh
fuck! I don't have your gift lined up.
I think we should push pause. I'm getting anxiety about your fucking gift, and I'm like I'm starting to dread your birthday. Going like, God damn it, I gotta make extra money so I can buy him a fucking birthday gift.
So maybe I can get you a gift.
Okay,
just something normal.
How about this? You ready for this?
Right. Yeah.
No. I think what we do is we do a live show on my birthday, for my birthday. And all the money that we make from the live show, you spend on a gift.
Oh my God.
And then we do a live show on your birthday, and all the money we make for that live show, I buy you a gift.
Oh my God. That's so wasteful.
I know. Our wives would be so fucking pissed.
They'd be super pissed. They'd be like, go fuck Adriana Chechik and don't ever do that again.
Oh, how great would that be? Oh, my God. Oh, that would be so fucking awesome.
Oh.
So how was the live show? It was like, great. Guess what? I'm moving to Montana. Tom bought me a ranch and some horses.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's tempting.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of tempting.
I needed this today, man. I was shaky yesterday's podcast with Ari. Could you tell, Nadav?
No.
Oh, I was stuttering. I came up with a brilliant fucking idea.
I mean, that all seemed pretty normal.
Yeah. No, good. Thanks, Nadav.
What was your brilliant idea?
Celebrity backgammon.
Wait, what's that?
So it's a TV show. Celebrities.
What's backgammon though?
That's why you'd be perfect for this. Yeah, backgammon. Ari thinks he can beat me.
But how do you play backgammon?
By the way, I ran all of Ari's Jewish theories by my Jewish friends last night, and none of them check out. I was like, did you know that Jewish women are inherently attracted to you because you're Jewish? And they're like, that's not true. And I was like, no, Ari said it's true. And they're like, eh. Backgammon's really fun. I play backgammon.
Did he do the Jewish girls blowjob thing?
No, what's that?
Isn't that like... all the Jewish girls get better blowjobs?
I'd love to fucking find that out.
I had a couple. Nadav, you know that one?
I don't think
I mean, I've heard it, but I don't really fuck with Jews, so I wouldn't know.
Wow. How crazy is Nadav?
What were his other theories?
All my things I know about Jewish people all come from Moshe Kasher and Ari Shaffir. And I think
those are two good resources.
Well, they both used to be Hasidic, right? Or Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hang out with any Orthodox Jewish people. I hang out with the progressive Jewish people. So maybe they just don't know what it's like to be Orthodox. Maybe that's what the problem is.
Well, that's probably true too.
And maybe they don't know their Judaism that good. Maybe they're like,
not as well as those guys do.
And by the way, one of those guys is only half Jewish. Do not tell him that. He gets fucking. All right, maybe I shouldn't say his name.
Oh, I thought you meant between Ari and
No. Yeah, bleep out his name. One of my buddies is his dad is Jewish, I think. I don't fucking know how it works. Anyway.
Because the rule in Judaism is if your mom's Jewish, you're Jewish.
Yeah.
Correct.
And if your mom's not Jewish, then you're not Jewish, right? And you can't have a tattoo.
A what?
A tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to be buried next to your... next to your family in a Jewish cemetery, you can't have a tattoo.
Sweet. How did that work out with the Holocaust?
Those are exempt.
Yeah. When it's forced on you for execution.
No, but I mean, that's like extra shitty. Was that rule? Hang on. Who put that rule in the books? Because Jesus, around that time, Moses didn't get tattoos. They weren't getting tattoos.
Jesus had one on his neck, too.
What did it say?
In the Bible, it says that.
What is Jesus's tattoo?
It said forgiven.
Forgiven.
You know that? Yeah.
It said ride or die.
Ride or die, yeah.
I'm God's ride or die. Hey,
said Suwu.
Wait, hang on. What's the rule? When did the tattoo rule come into the Judaism graveyards? That had to be like in the
20s. Why do you say it totally talked like that?
What's that?
Tattoo, you mean?
Yeah, tattoo. I like putting a little spin on my words every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, razzle dazzle it.
It's part of being an 11.
It's part of it being an 11 is, you know, so if you ever meet Ben Affleck, then.
Yeah.
Hey, I've said Ben Affleck's name so wrong so long as a joke that I now say it wrong for real. And I've done
you know that we got, what? Do you know that we got a video dump of more people saying your name wrong?
Oh, yeah. Do you know no one says my name right anymore.
I don't know why it throws people off so much.
I think my name is always, I mean, for my whole life, I was always called Brett or Brent. I'm guilty of it too. I walked into a store to get my beard trimmed. It's called like Beard Company or Beard Brothers. And I was like, I walked in and I was like, this doesn't look like a barber shop. This looks like a bakery. I go, oh, it's Bread Brothers. I literally was like, I wouldn't mind getting like, I'm right there. I wouldn't mind getting a little trim up. I opened it and I was like, this is a bakery. All right. I walked out and they're like, can we help you? I was like, not unless you can trim beards. And they're like,
my kids are about to ruin this taping.
What?
I said, my kids are about to ruin this taping.
Oh, are they in?
Them walking. I just heard them.
My kids, my daughters and I are getting along really well right now.
I thought you said you weren't.
We had a rough patch in Denver, but I think it was because it is because I think what was happening is Georgia's nervous about college. And so I think, and I was super like gung ho, like, hey, put your phone down. Take a look at this. Take a look at that. And I think I think the whole thing's a little overwhelming to her. And I was not being super sensitive. And Isla just kept hitting me and going, Isla learned how to flick people off. And Isla just kept flicking me off and then going, shut up. Stop talking. Stop talking. You're making it worse, Dad. Stop it. And so, but I love Colorado. I fucking love Colorado.
It's the best, dude.
Let's see. Best state to be born in. I'm going to obviously go to Florida because I think it makes you a stronger person.
What?
Best state. Because I would love to get. LA is fucking making me crazy.
I would love LA to live, is a crazy making place.
I'd love to live in. I would love to live in like Cape Cod.
You said to be born in.
I know, but I'm talking reckless, Tom. What? Oh, I mean, best state to have a baby is Massachusetts. Wonder why.
There you go.
Minnesota, D.C., New Hampshire. I'm telling you, man.
Those are very progressive states.
People are sleeping on Cape Cod. Cape Cod's awesome. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard. I want to go to Martha's Vineyard.
I would check that out. I want to go too. I just want to see what it's like.
I don't even know anything about it. It's like when I first moved to New York and I went to Greenwich Village and there were skyscrapers or like tall buildings and I was like, this doesn't look like a village at all. I thought it would be like a little village that you like walked in a door and like walked in a gate and all of a sudden there were trees everywhere and like a little hobbit. It looked like Hobbiton. In Lord of the Rings.
Weren't you expecting something wild in Hell's Kitchen when you heard about
Hell's Kitchen? Yeah, I wanted to see people holding people down, faces in the gutter, fucking them in the ass, going like, yeah. I went down to the meatpacking district, and that lived up to its name.
Yeah.
I saw a dude fuck a dude in his ass at a club in the meatpacking district first week in L.A. You want to talk about a crazy fucking night? Starts on 11th Avenue, right? Having drinks with this guy who was like the editor of Us magazine, who I'd known growing up, these beautiful women. And then he was like, hey, I say we really go out. We got to take Bert out. Let's take him to a club. So we go to this club. And I think we might've done coke or like or something, but we ecstasy or something like that. Yeah. But, and then next thing you know, we're in the meatpacking district and they're like, you need to go to a real gay bar. You need to go to a fucking hardcore gay bar. I have such vivid memories of this 15 minutes I stayed in this gay bar. There was a dude that had stars tattooed from his heels all the way to his ass cheeks, just like going progressively bigger, and he was serving cocktails. And then I looked over, and there is one dude straight up fucking another dude in the ass. And I'm like, holy shit, welcome to New York. Then we end up at Mary Lou's, a bar on like 13th Street. I know I've told you this. I'm sitting at Mary Lou's and I'm like, and now it's like after hours. It's like 3 a.m. And I am like, fucking, this night's been crazy. I'm still with the dude and the two hot chicks. And this guy next to me goes, hey, you're the party animal. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I just read about you on the plane. I know you. And he was like, hey, I got to get a drink for the party animal. Hey, Harvey, Abel, party animal right here. And they're like, huh? And then all of a sudden the chick looks over and she's like stunned. And she goes, oh my God, David Lee Roth knows who you are. And I'm like, that's David Lee Roth? Did not look like the David Lee Roth I grew up with. And I was like, holy shit. And then he was talking to, at this bar, is Abel Ferrara. I don't really know who that is, but I just remember the name. Abel Ferrara and Harvey Keitel and David Lee Roth. And I'm just like, this is like my first week in New York. And I was like, it's going to be all fucking roses. Never saw David Lee Roth again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you fucked a guy in the ass at a bar?
No, I did not. But
I
remember gay bars. Going to gay bars, like back then, it was like fucking chaos. I remember with this guy that worked at Barnes and Noble with me. It was the first like gay dude I really, really knew. I'm sure I knew gay dudes and growing up in high school and college, but no one ever came out. And then I met this guy. He came out. He was from like Iowa or somewhere, small town, moved to New York, and he was fucking every night. He came in with a black eye one morning, and I go, what happened? He goes, I got fucked out of my loft last night. And I was like, what? And that guy would tell me stories. I remember he put me into a spiral. He came up and he's like, hey, can I show you my cock? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I got something wrong with it. I don't know what's going on. And he showed me his dick, and I was like, I think it got bit by spiders. And then he was like, and then me and him went to a medical journal and started looking up diseases. And I had just had my first one night stand the night before. Like the
in New York?
Only one night stand I ever had in my entire life.
And you only did it once?
I've only had one. Maybe I've had two. Yeah, I had sex with this Liverpudlian chick. So I had
what?
Two. I had two. I fucked a chick from Liverpool, and we went to ride roller coasters during the day, and she saw me do stand up. I partied with her that night, and with her and her sister. And then she said, "We're going to Magic Mountain. Do you want to come or whatever the fucking Six Flags?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I went with her and her sister, and we came back. I did stand up again that night. We came back to my room, and I feel like she fucked me just so that they had a place to stay, because they stayed at my house. But the interesting thing is, and this you'll get a kick out of this, she smoked Cool cigarettes and she drank Cavassier. And as I fucked her, I was like, this is what it would smell like to fuck Tupac.
I mean, did you meet her in the Bronx?
No, she was from Liverpool. And then I talked to her like 2 months later, and she, like on the phone, she called, you know, they were back in Liverpool. And I was like, how's everything? She was like, oh, I'm not so good. We just had a car bombing. I did a great fucking. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can remember this. Never mind.
Wait, what about the one night stand?
I killed it. That? I fucking tore that pussy up. That's the best I've ever fucked in my entire life. By the way, ran into that chick in Hawaii.
Really?
I'm at the Blue Note, ran into her at my show. She came to my show. Ran into her. I was like, what's up? Fucking awesome. I mean, that's how good that's how good I fucked. 22 years later, she still knows my name. Right? I haven't talked to her once. Good. I haven't talked to her once. Comes to my show. Good. Comes backstage. They go, hey, guy at the Blue Note. Guy goes, hey, I think one of your ex-girlfriends is here. And I was like, I literally have four ex-girlfriends. That's it. No, I only have three. Three real, I mean, like, you know, high school ones, but three real ex-girlfriends. And I was like, and one's Leanne. And I was like, I'm like, that's impossible. And he goes, and I go, don't worry about it. Just bring him back. She walks in and I was like, she wasn't a girlfriend.
You immediately recognize her?
Immediately.
She looked the same?
Yeah, she looked great, actually. Yeah, she looked fantastic. And so, and that's the best I've ever had sex. That's but I've had good, meaning like with a stranger, you know, like. Like I've had good
did
sex.
Did you wrap
with
it
Leanne.
Up or no? Did you raw dog it?
I raw dogged it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy said, I love you during it or whatever. I wasn't good at one night stands. I definitely said, I love you. I only did this with people I loved. And so then I was just like, I love you. And she was like, huh? I was like, do you want to say it back to you? So I feel like this isn't weird.
Oh, that's great.
And then cut to the next day, the gay guy shows me his dick and he's like, dude, I wish I knew this gay guy's name. I wish I remembered his name. I wish I could talk to him.
I wish you had started blowing that guy.
He shows me his dick, and then we go to the medical journals, and he starts looking for his disease. And he was like, you're lucky. And I was like, why? And he goes, well, you don't have unprotected sex. And I go, oh, I did last night. And he was like, oh, maybe you should be looking in here. Then cuts to a fucking meltdown of me believing I have every venereal disease in the book.
What did he end up having?
I have no idea. And then, and they said, you know what's so interesting is I remember my boss, Dwayne, is at Barnes & Noble. He said to me one time, he goes, it was in a big team meeting upstairs before we opened. And he said, Bert, what do you do? And I said, I'm a comedian. And he goes, no, you work at Barnes & Noble. Don't ever forget that. That's actually what you do. You do that. You are not a comedian. And I was like, what a fucking cock. Right? And then Dwayne is the guy who fired me for working out in the basement in my underwear. Do you have a question? Dwayne is the one who fired me in the basement for my underwear. And then I came back. I had just gone to LA, signed a deal with Will Smith. I was like ready to go back to that Barnes & Noble as if I made it, right? So I walk up to the information booth. I'm living in LA. I'm just back for a couple days. I got a big TV deal. I'm ready to like brag to Dwayne that, hey, guess what? I'm a fucking comedian. You can suck my dick. And I walk in and I see the gay guy and he lights up and he's like, hey. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, oh, dude, I heard you signed a TV deal. And I said, I did. And he goes, oh. And he goes, hey, man, I got fucked so hard last night. And I just went back into my old thing. And I was like, oh, tell me all about it. And then I never got to brag to Dwayne. I ended up hanging with a gay guy. We ended up going down what?
It's way better than seeing Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne got fired. Dwayne was fucking one of the, apparently. That's what he said. I didn't even see
I'd rather hear about the gay guy getting butt fucked than
God,
bragging to Dwayne.
It was like the coolest. It was like the coolest time of your life. It was when you're young and you just are learning about everything, and you're like, really excited and going to see stand up every night. Now I'm jaded, fucking sitting at the Denver airport, shaking.
I know, man. All right, we got to wrap this up. We've done 100 episodes, most of which with each other. And you're going to fly out here, so we can try to stop Zooming.
If you can be available on either a Tuesday in October, I can make it happen.
I think we can make that happen.
I can be available two Tuesdays in October. We'll bang out the whole fucking month. We can do a Monday Tuesday. Do a Monday night Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Yeah. All right. Good.
All right.
Oh, and then you just so you know, you have like a legit house guest. Like, I'm definitely staying with you.
I know that.
Yeah. I'm fucking living it up. You're gonna see me at 11.
We're making arrangements. All right. So thank you guys for watching, for supporting us, and hopefully hundreds of more episodes. Bert, I love you.
I love you more, Tom. I love you so much that I'll do all the ad reads today.
Oh, you're the best.
All right. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.